Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, doing a Floydcast number 72 for June 29, 2015. We're almost exactly halfway through this year. I don't know about anybody else, but I see time flying by. When you're a kid in school, it's the opposite, isn't it? You know, you can't wait to not have to go to school every morning. When you're in school, it just seems to drag on and on. And, you know, sometimes it does. Some classes it does. If you're not interested in the class, it's understandable. So I guess that's it. As you get older, you do more and more, you do things that you want to do. But when you do something you want to do, the time goes by fast. Time is one of those things you can't get around. Einstein had a famous quip about relativity, explaining it regarding time. If you're spending time doing something you don't care for, time drags. And if you're, as he puts it, spending time with a pretty girl, then time goes by quickly. I came up with a realization about a physics realization that I want to put into a paper, and I'm thinking I won't spoil it by talking too much, but it's so much fun to have a basic model and then realize that you can strip away so much of the accepted but wrong stuff in physics. Anyway, let's get to the first story. A Charleston update, I call this. Amazon, eBay ban Confederate flag merchandise. So Amazon has 22,000 items that are Confederate themed, and now they're pulling the sale of those items. Well, that's not the only thing in the news these days. We also have these two guys, Sweat and Matt. One of them got killed. Richard Matt got shot by the police. Well, first of all, his last name, Matt189, we've talked about that name shortening your life. I thought, hey, I haven't worked out the letters under his name. The letters in Richard. In the name Richard, there's three letters that are a nine letter. Sure enough, he was sixth year under the nine, under the R, the first R in Richard. The number of losses and tragedies, and now he's dead. Some people I know were at a camp, a summer camp, and it seemed like every staff person there had a different name than the name they were born with. I think they often do this at camps. They take on names, nicknames that they always wanted or suit the theme of the camp. One of the guys had taken on a nickname that was a 999. It's like my brother did that. He took on a 999 nickname, and the next thing you know, his car has left the road on a mountain and he's ripped his head open. What's that saying? We think in secret, but it comes to pass. Our environment is but a looking glass. You know, you can change your name in secret, but it'll come to pass. You'll get effect. And on the plaza side, say you realize you don't have a good name, and you can choose a better name, and you can, the first step, you can change it yourself. You can change what you resonate with, what you respond to, what you choose to be. And depending how strongly you assert that, you will start to notice a benefit. You will become a calmer, clearer person. You'll have less problems in your life. Getting back to that Confederate thing, this is all to do with this supposed church shooting in Charleston. I was reading a webpage, someone had put out a little thing on it, and they had like about 15 or 20 points that made you wonder about the truth of that story. Things like they had immediately given the families $15 or $20 million. And they did this in a previous case when it seemed like a false flag operation. As someone put it, the actors were getting paid. We haven't seen the bodies, and it seems like the guy had perfect accuracy in his shooting. He only missed with one bullet, and how probable is that? They just raised a lot of questions, of course. But the thing is that the media is always playing more than one game. Like here, okay, they get rid of Confederate merchandise. But what's really going on? What's really going on is the president has now fast-tracked a free trade agreement. It's abbreviated the TPP, and I forget what TPP stands for, and it sure doesn't matter. But basically, this is another one of these deals that they push through that helps them, helps the big boys. Natural News had a bit on it, saying that it's going to affect things like chemical pollution and medical monopolies and labor safety laws, etc. Well, the point is that no one's talking about that. They're talking about Confederate flags. They've created a fake situation, then they've dumbed down the effect afterwards that it's all about a Confederate flag, supposedly. How long ago was the Civil War? I don't know. 100, 150 years, 120 years ago? So a Confederate flag has been around in a controversial sense, right? It was the losing side's flag, right? So that losing side's flag has been around 120 years. Has it been an issue? really. They save these things. They save these things so that when they want to introduce something that they care about, they can have a fake issue dominating the press. And boy, is this Charleston thing dominating the press. You know, normally I get stories. Well, not lately. I'm getting about half. There's something else. I forget there was something else jamming up the airwaves. The Matt and Sweat thing and then the Charleston thing were jamming them up pretty effectively. So keep your own counsel. There's no reason to believe that anything happened in Charleston other than a bunch of actors got paid. There's simply no reason to believe anything else. You will never see first-hand evidence yourself of anything. Everything you're going to get about it, every single bit of information is going to be from somebody else. And most probably someone directly or indirectly related to the media. That's not good enough. Next story. Milford police officer's death. Suspicious. An off-duty city police officer's death early Monday is being called untimely by Milford police and a suspicious incident by state police who are handling the investigation. What's the guy's name? Michael Compare. So Michael's 696 grade name, Compare. The last name Compare, C-O-M-P-A-R-E, 358. Very good name. So here's a guy, two great names. Put them together, 955 total, 5 destiny. Terrible. What about his Mike? First of all, Mike is a bad first name, 562. But when you put it together with the last name, 1 destiny. This guy could not win with his names. The worst thing, too, your names create how you think. And then you add them together, and that's like your destiny. So you might think in, you know, a very balanced, reasonable fashion. But then you just keep attracting worse conditions than you should. Imagine how much that messes with the person. You put your best thought into something, and you can even compare yourself to others, and you're like, I'm thinking about this pretty well. And then, bang, it doesn't work out. You look across at someone else, and they seem to be putting in half as much effort, and it works out for them. And you're like, how come? Next story. Ex-MLB player Darrell Hamilton slain in murder-suicide. Darrell Hamilton, a standout center fielder and member of the New York Mets team that reached the 2000 World Series, was killed in a murder-suicide in a suburban Houston home. He was found dead Sunday after he was fatally shot. He was age 50. Let's look at his names. Darrell, 156. Hamilton, 742. Total of his name, 898. You have an 898 name, you're going to do way better than the average person. That's a very successful total. He's born December the 3rd, 1964. So he's in the sixth cycle this year, 5-2 months. And when he was shot on the 21st, he was in an 8-4 day. We've talked about recently that when it's an 8-4 day, it's more expensive than normal. Well, that was a more expensive than normal test. What about his letters? Darrell, 2 R's. The R's are 9's. He was under the second R in Darrell. Fourth year under a 9 letter. The most or tied for the most adverse possible letter influence you can be under. His girlfriend was Monica Jordan, age 44. We don't have her cycle. Let's look at her name, Monica, 731. There's some one-ish quality there. Last name, Jordan, 718. Total of her two names, 549. Now remember, she seems to have shot him and then shot herself. So when someone shoots themselves, you look for the 5, she has it in the total, 549. And specifically, the 5 in that name, in that total, is how the person looks at the future, or into the future, 5-ishly. And the 5 can think the worst and not want to be here. And then, of course, a 9 destiny. Let's look at her letters under her name. She has an I in her name. That's a 9. She had just come under the I in Monica, second time around. And she was the second year under the 9 letter. One thing I'd like to know is, why would someone who's going to commit suicide, why would they kill someone else? I guess you can assume in this case, say, that maybe he had done or was doing something to her she didn't like. So she's like, I'll show you. And then she shoots herself. To me, it's a little confusing. I guess because I don't have those thoughts, it's a little hard to figure out. But what it seems to me like there are two major confusions of thought. Confusion number one is that you want to kill somebody else, and confusion number two is you want to kill yourself. And why do you have them both at the same time? Even harder to understand situations are, for example, say you have a family. You kill the kids and you kill yourself. What do the kids have to do with it? Why are you doing that? I just don't understand that. I guess they're just so irrational at that moment. If someone is abusing you, I can see why some people want to retaliate. That makes sense. But in the case of the parent that wants to end their life, I don't see why they go after the kids. The kids most likely were not doing anything to the parents. If anything, it was the other way around. It just doesn't make sense. Next story, Dustin Johnson still searching for elusive major title. So this was U.S. Open Golf last week. Fantastic golf. And Jordan Spieth, my man, he won again. He's won two majors in a row this year. He has a chance of getting the calendar slam or something. These sports have majors. Golf has them. I'm trying to think if there's another sport that has majors. Men's regular golf has majors. Men's senior golf has majors. And then, of course, the women's side has majors. But I think it's just golf that does this. Basically, they're tournaments that are more prestigious than average, tougher than average, more special than average. And someone decrees which ones are the majors. And once one of these categories, like the regular men's tour, has majors, then the other ones want to have their own majors. And it's somewhat contrived. But the point is that once you establish that something is a major, then all the pros want to win that. Because what comes with it, you get so many perks with it, financial perks and endorsement perks. And with some of these tournaments, they give you an exemption so that you qualify for the tour for the next 5 years or 10 years. And for some of these tournaments, you can come back to that tournament for the rest of your life. The Masters. You win the Masters. You are invited back every year for the rest of your life. You become part of the building, part of the structure. So Spieth winning two majors, two for two, this year is phenomenal. Well, Dustin Johnson had several putts on the final hole. And if he had made the first of three putts, he would have won outright. If he made the second one, it would have been a tie and a playoff. And he missed those two, and then he made the third, and so he came in second. So I thought, let's have a look at his cycle. Because this is a guy, he's a great golfer. He showed so much promise. Basically did so well during the tournament, he could have won. Let's be honest, it was, you could say, a coin flip at the end. Dustin Johnson was born June 22, 1984. This year he's in a one cycle. In June he's in a 9-1 month. All that's, you know, great, good. But on the day, last Sunday, he was in a 3-day. And what do they say in the 3-day? They say there can be a disappointment in the latter half of the 3 cycle. Well, I would say it was more than a little bit of a disappointment in the latter half of his 3-day last Sunday when he came in second in a major tournament. Something people learn is that these chances to win a major, they don't just come around every day. There have been great, great golfers. Phil Mickelson is a great example. Phil Mickelson has won 3 of the 4 majors at least once, some of them probably more than once. He's never won a U.S. Open. And believe me, he wanted to even this last weekend, and he didn't. He's obviously going to the Hall of Fame, and he's a great golfer, but still, he wants that tournament badly. So the disappointment of a 3 cycle can be pretty substantial. And the nice thing is when you know the cycles, then you know that that could be coming. And you can, as they say, guard yourself against expecting too much when you're in a 3-ish cycle. And it really helps. When it comes to buying, you don't want to buy something in a 3 cycle. Because let's say it's a 3-day and you buy it in the morning and then in the afternoon you go to turn it on or you're using it for the second time and it breaks and you're like, what? Well, that's the 3 cycle. Or you're committing to a project, being creative, and you buy a bunch of materials in the first part of a 3 cycle. It can be a 3-year or whatever. And then you don't get it done by the midpoint of that cycle, and then it becomes hard to finish it. Or you start to realize there's some drawbacks, and you don't even want to finish it. Next story, James Horner. Sadly, James Horner passed away. This is my favorite composer of music for movies. He's done a couple you might know of. Titanic? Avatar? Legends of the Fall? Oh man, Apollo 13? Just off the top of my head, I can rattle off half a dozen. 48 Hours, another 48 Hours. I think he did Glory. He's just done so many. In a way, Hollywood must hate James Horner because he brings so much goodness to a movie that he elevates that movie permanently so that you then want to rewatch it. And you then enjoy rewatching it. It's that good. A couple of good quotes of his that I sent out in my Q9. When someone noteworthy passes away, I'll look for their quotes, their thoughts. That's my way of tipping my hat to them, giving them a final good thought, you might say. Because after all, when you pass away, the goal is to go away peacefully. The goal is to let go of this world. And part of it, the letting go, is on the other end of the letting go. In other words, it's not just the person, it's us, the living. We can hold on to something. We all hold on to things, and it's not healthy. And in the case of the mind that no longer has a body to express through, if we hold on, we are energizing and holding on to those thoughts, and it's not good. So whenever someone passes, I always wish them peace and to be free and to let go of this physical earth and all the thoughts that went with living. They've done their best, whoever they are. You won't get another chance, another moment. Just let it all go. Well, it's going to be hard with James Horner, I'll be honest. I guess in time. Time wounds all heals. But he talked about it working with James Cameron. He's worked with him, of course, on Titanic and Avatar and probably some others. He said it for every moment in the movie, for any event in the movie, he wants to be sure that his music is appropriate to the event. I think if you truly study music, here's a comparison. Compare John Williams. He's the guy that does music for like Star Wars and stuff like that. Just compare them. Take Titanic, the movie Titanic, or Avatar. I also like Legends of the Fall. I think the music there is exceptional. So compare Titanic, Legends of the Fall, to a Star Wars movie. And yeah, they should be comparable. And then of course they're not. The Star Wars franchise is childish on every level. And the music is certainly childish and about as subtle as a sledgehammer. In my Q9, when I was sending out my quote regarding James Horner, and I listed all the movies that I thought were noteworthy movies that he had done the music for, and it was about 30. Even good directors, you look at Martin Scorsese. Go to the IMDb page, type in Martin Scorsese, and look at his movies that he's made. And you'll be lucky if you see half a dozen that you like. Oliver Stone. You'll be lucky if you see half a dozen movies that you like. Well, with James Horner, there are about 30 of his movies that I like. It's just unusual that any one person creates so many great movies or is part of so many great movies. What about his cycle? What happened to James Horner? He was something like in his 50s? Let's see here. A little bit older. He was born in 53. So he was 62. What happened? Well, he's born August 15th. When you work it out, he was in a 4 cycle this year. What about the month? 3-7 month. What about the day? 7-1 day. Well, in the 1 cycle, hard physical things happen, right? But it's that 4 year, and the cycles peak in July. If you think of the plant analogy, the plant activity peaks in July. So even though each month has its own qualitative value, the intensity of the value increases as you get towards July, and then it decreases afterwards. The growing season, you could say. So in a 4 year, even though he's in a 3-7 month, which is, you know, kind of a meh, not great, not bad month, but that 4 year is building, and of course July is just around the corner here. So he was near the peak of the 4 year. So even though the month and day not particularly bad, watch out for that 4 year all year long. If you're in a 4 month, watch out for that month all month long. So James Horner, this is someone that I figured out. Because you won't hear them talking about James Horner. Well, now you will, because he passed away. But you could go back in the news 6 months ago. Nobody was talking about James Horner at all, ever. I would say other than him passing away, the number of times I've heard about James Horner in the news is approximately 0. They just don't talk about the music guy. Oh, one other little bit. Hang on, I need to get something. Do we hear him gurgling? Next story. New York to pay wrongfully imprisoned man $6.5 million. Settlement comes more than 14 months after a judge released Jonathan Fleming, age 53, from prison, overturning a 1990 murder conviction and a sentence of life in prison. So this guy was convicted and sentenced 25 years ago. He spent almost half his life behind bars. But recently it was confirmed, or the judge ruled, that the evidence they had at the time proved he couldn't have done it. We cannot give back the time he served, but the city of New York can offer Jonathan Fleming this compensation. Well, I don't know, is $6.5 million enough? It used to be that the rule of thumb, sadly there is a rule of thumb, for the value of a human life, it used to be the value was about $5 million. $6.5 million sounds like the current value of a life, and he lost half of his for no reason. Shouldn't there be usually they do like treble damages. They triple it to punish. They triple it so that you'll learn the next time. Anyway, let's look at the guy's name. This guy's minding his own business. Next thing you know, he's convicted of something he couldn't have done. Jonathan, Jonathan, 832. Fleming, 573. Total of the two names, 415 total, 5 destiny. You're just minding your own business in that 5 destiny. Because really, his first two names, I wouldn't want those first two names, but they're not that bad compared to, there are worse names. But the total and the destiny, whew, wrongfully imprisoned for half your life. Wow, man. There's just no way that money is enough. Poor guy. Next story. Man gets 22 years in Bridgeport killing. I guess this guy, Johnny Jefferson, who, quote, was earning a living robbing drug dealers, whom he knew would not report the crime to police. And I guess he shoots a guy, Dwayne Cobb. Okay, so the guy he shoots, Dwayne 731, Cobb 674. Well, once again, you don't want these two first and last names, but not terrible. Add them together, 415 total again. What are the odds of that? What about the guy doing the shooting here? This story is like the second story, and it says in the story previously the judge had sentenced another guy, Trumaine Hurst, who pulled the trigger, to 28 years in prison. So even though this story is about Johnny Jefferson, the guy who used to rob the criminals, the trigger puller was this Trumaine Hurst guy. So I thought, let's look at Trumaine Hurst. Trumaine, T-R-U-M-A-I-N-E, 922. Imagine a 922 shooting people, shooting someone. Hurst, last name 628. Whenever you have the 2 and the 8 around, you think of someone who's trying for money. Well, he's got the 2 in the first name, he's got the 8 in the last name. Add his two names together, 1 destiny. He was about 19 when he did this shooting November last year. He has 2 9 letters in the name Trumaine. He was the first year under the 9 letter when he shot that person. Next story. Buddhist monk stabs older monk in face. Now, how often do you hear a story like that? Wow. The Oakland Tribune reported Tuesday that authorities say 30-year-old Sok Fana Fen acknowledged stabbing 66-year-old Mahamonirath Pin in the face and head with 2 kitchen knives at an East Oakland monastery on June 16. Sok Fana, the guy who did the stabbing, 819. When you add the 9 there, that just makes the person a destabilizing kind of an influence. We've seen with the Oliver, 279. They can really snap. So he's got the 9, the first name. What about the last name, Fen? P-H-E-N, 527. Accident looking for a place to happen. And total of the two names, 437. The 437 is a very discordant combination. I had a teacher back in my Chem Eng days. He was a lab teacher, and his name was Dr. Oloman. O-L-O-M-A-N, 437, last name. And this was an odd duck. One of the things about his lab is a very small lab. Picture like almost in a bathroom. It was probably about twice the size of a bathroom. And he had this lab where 30 students could be in there. I don't know, maybe I've exaggerated. Maybe it's 3 times as big as a bathroom. It was very small. And he had something called the novel experiment. In the course of a given school year, you would do these different experiments that he had set up. You would rotate. And you were paired up in groups of 2. And so each week you do a different experiment. And then one of the weeks you do the novel experiment. Well, the point is, with the other experiments, you knew what you were going to be doing. And you could find out from the people in before you. And you could get their papers. And you could, and people would do this. And they would copy the paper from a previous person. Well, with a novel experiment, you never knew what it was. And so you couldn't copy it from anyone else. And so the students would all freak out about the novel experiments. Well, it's one of these things where if you have basic principles, you don't freak out about this kind of stuff. So I came and my partner was Greg Cosma. He was an interesting guy. This was the guy who, when I would do intramural hockey, groups of students from different engineering departments would play each other. So I was on the chemical engineers team and we would play the other engineers in just, you know, fun hockey. I played defense at the time, and Greg also played defense, so we were on the same line. And this is the guy when you'd be playing, and suddenly he would be coming towards you with his hands up, ready to collide with you. No one else did this. No one else on your own team was going to collide with you ever during the game. But this Greg guy did it enough. Of course, I analyzed his name, and I was like, okay, noted. When you have a 5, when you have hell for a first name, G-R-E-G is hell. It's 551. When you have hell for a first name, you confront everything, even your own player. Your first response, the one, is a head down kind of mentality, like a bull, just like a bull, putting your head down and charging. And the five is, you know, reckless and not fearful, so aggressive. And when you have all that, your first response is to challenge, to collide. Stag versus stag, mountain goat versus mountain goat. And this guy, I had to worry more about my own teammate. Anyway, so Greg Cosma was 786, a very fine last name, and he was, you know, he was an okay guy. Total first name, 347. Anyway, so he was my lab partner, and I come in the usual time. You know, if the lab started at 8:30, which it probably did, I came at, you know, 8:25. And he was already there, and he knew what the lab experiment was, and he was researching, and he was all freaked out. Well, what it was is very simple. Dr. Oleman had given us a container with white crystals in it. And we were told that these white crystals were salt and sugar. That's it. And our goal was to separate them and to report how much of each there was. So how do you separate salt and sugar? Let's assume the crystals are the same size. It's possible to make them the same size. How do you separate them? Greg was already researching, and he went for the density. Were they different in density? And they are. Salt is more dense than sugar. So if you can somehow suspend them in a solution, if you can find a solution that the density of the solution is between salt and sugar, then the salt will sink and the sugar will float. And believe it or not, carbon tetrachloride, dry cleaning fluid, has the intermediate density. The reason is that salt is NaCl. The Cl is the heavy atom. And in sugar, it's just carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And those are all relatively light atoms. Well, in carbon tetrachloride, you have carbons and you have chlorines. Well, the problem was that carbon tetrachloride didn't quite work right. It wasn't perfect. So now he was stuck. He was all freaked out. I just realized that we needed something that made it slightly more dense than it was. And so carbon tetrachloride is the methyl group, the core carbon. There's one carbon, and then there's four chlorines. So the methyl group is when you have one carbon, and it can attach to four things. When you have two carbons, it's an ethyl group. So if you go for ethylene hexachloride, which is to say the next step up from carbon tetrachloride, then that molecule is slightly more dense than the carbon tetrachloride, and one will dissolve in the other. Like dissolves like. And so I realized if we got some ethylene hexachloride, which is a solid at room temperature, we just scoop some into the carbon tetrachloride, which is a liquid at room temperature, we will make that liquid more dense, and then when you added the salt plus sugar solution in, it immediately separated out, and you could just filter it out, and it turned out the answer of the ratio of one to the other was exactly 50-50. That would be a typical joke for a lab professor's. Make the answer basically obvious and exact. Rather than there was 33% of one or 17.5% of one, he just made it 50-50. Well, anyway, within no time we had finished. We had figured out what to do, and I just wrote it up in a routine fashion and didn't think twice about it. I thought, we aced this thing. We get the paper back, and he gives me 9 out of 10. Now, normally I don't care about my grades that much, but I was like, why did I get 9? What did we do wrong? Well, he was complaining that ethylene hexachloride is toxic. And of course, so is carbon tetrachloride. But at least the carbon tetrachloride evaporates. The point is that some of the ethylene hexachloride would have stayed. As the dry cleaning fluid evaporates, the heavier related chemical would come back out of solution as a solid. And that white solid would stick to the salt and sugar solids. So we had a problem that our separation method was, you know, you couldn't use it in the food industry, let's put it that way. Number one. And then number two, he was taking marks off because we didn't research other ways of doing it. This is what some people do. They give you one assignment, but then even in that one assignment, they just don't want to give you that 10 out of 10. And so there he is. You didn't find other ways of doing it. Well, it turned out the professor's way that he wanted it done was salt and sugar both dissolve in water. But it turns out that when you cool the water, like ice water, the salt will not dissolve as well in ice water as sugar will. And so supposedly we could have had chilled water, the salt and the sugar in the chilled water, and the salt would have become solid in the bottom or not dissolved. And the sugar would have dissolved. We could have tapped off the sugar and we would have separated them that way. And it's true. But you know, the problem is when you meet the criteria, when you solve the problem according to the way it's put to you, you don't look for something else. But anyway, an odd professor giving odd novel experiments. No one else ever did this. I never saw any other lab class doing this. And believe me, I took countless lab classes. I mean, I bet you, just thinking the number of courses that had labs, because I had physics courses that had labs, I had electrical engineering courses that had labs, and of course, chemistry, almost every chemistry course had labs. Wow, man. I had my fill. There was one lab. Dr. Ullman's labs were not the worst, not the most challenging. They were half-day labs, 4 hours. But there was one, I think in fourth year Chem-Eng, there was one that on Fridays, and it was an all-day lab. And this laboratory that you did it in, it spanned the entire building, the vertical height of the building, four-story height of the building. It had these massive towers in it, cooling towers or chemical reaction towers and everything else. And this building was kind of fun because this building, for the average visitor, just seemed like a typical building. But when you sort of knew the inside story, it was like a ship in a way. It's like the difference between being a passenger on a cruise ship and being a guy who works as part of the crew. And when you were, you know, the Chem-Eng student, you were part of the crew and you got to see all the intricacies of this building. It was definitely one of the most interesting buildings on the campus. They had like a spiral staircase that allowed you to go vertically within the lab so that you could work with these various towers that were in there. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Those labs, those write-ups were brutal. Those were like 30-page write-ups. So Dr. Ullman, 437, very odd duck. And you get things like growths. You get unusual teratogenic cancerous type effects happening when you have a name like that. But Mr. Sokfana Fenn didn't need that because he had the accident looking for a place to have a last name. So there's a monk stabbing another monk. Not something you see every day. I call this next story the weird story of the week. Lego is searching for sustainable plastic alternatives. It sounds good. It sounds like the kind of green story that we hear these days. Here's the catch. They want to change their plastic by the year 2030. That's 15 years from now. So this is a story about something they're going to do 15 years from now. So right away I start waving a flag like, I don't think so, Scooter. So this is a story about Lego wanting to get publicity for Lego is what it really is. Number one. Number two, they want to make their plastic more sustainable, more friendly. Well, here's the thing. Lego blocks are, without exception, the most permanent toy any kid will ever play with. They don't go away. They don't change over time. They don't break. They don't discolor. And so when you're done with it, you give it to your children. You sell it. So if you have something that doesn't degrade and you're able to give it to others and they're able to use it for years and tens of years and you can pass it on to your children and their children, why do you need the plastic to be different? So that was my weird story of the week. I'm calling you on that one, Lego.
I challenge your motives.
Next story. Chinese tech firms fight over Wi-Fi router with, quote, pregnant women setting. So this is a Wi-Fi router, a computer router, that they're actually warning people, and they've actually given a setting for the router that if you're pregnant, you should use this setting. It's a safer setting. Well, wait a minute. Why do you need a safer setting on a Wi-Fi router if they're already safe? Because that's what they keep telling us, right? Mainstream media says Wi-Fi is safe, wireless is safe, microwave radiation is not a problem. It's not ionizing radiation, it's non-ionizing. And you'll see guys on Slashdot, and they will say only that.
Well, it's non-ionizing. Now, this guy doesn't know the difference between non-ionizing and ionizing.
And they think they've finished talking about the subject. Well, of course, they are trolls. They are paid trolls. They are working for the wireless companies. They don't admit that, but that's what they are. The way trolls work is they have one stupid response. They will fire it off every chance they get immediately. And it's designed to be condescending. And the way humans are is when we hear someone being condescending to someone else, we assume that the person being condescending knows what they're talking about. We assume it's gone beyond being a debate. It's obvious. Well, everyone knows two and two is four. That would be an example. But these trolls and these subjects online these days, they're saying, well, everyone knows 2 and 2 is 5. That's what they're actually saying. So there's a pregnant women setting. In fact, there were 3 of them. There was setting number 1, the highest speed, the best, in quotes, is called wall penetration. So right off the bat, they're saying these Wi-Fi things can penetrate walls. Well, if they can penetrate walls, they can penetrate humans. Then the intermediate setting was called balance. And then the most cautious setting was called pregnant women. Well, you know, it actually makes a lot of sense, because you should use the minimum amount of radiation that you need to get the job done. And similarly, with wireless products, you should be doing the lowest demand things with a wireless product. In other words, don't watch a movie on your phone. Don't watch a video on your phone or your pad. Watch them on a wired connection, because it is demanding information-wise to send a movie over wireless. And so you get the maximum radiation when you do so. However, in this case with this router, when you have the router dialed back to a lower setting, the computer side of it, the other side of the connection, has to sometimes be jacked up a bit to make up for it. And this is what someone on Slashdot was saying. I think technically it's not quite correct. It doesn't necessarily have to jack up on the computer side. One thing that is true, in this house, we have shielded this house. And so we have made it harder for microwave radiation to get into this house. Well, that's fine, and our phones still work inside the house. But when our phones want to communicate outside of the house, because of the shielding, they have to amp up their energy level a little bit to get through that shielding. So the guys in Slashdot weren't right, but they introduced a good point, nonetheless. But isn't that fascinating? That's the first time I've run into this, where a Wi-Fi product is actually saying, if you're pregnant, use a lesser setting. That's the first time. Next story. Domino's Pizza delivery driver placed on leave after shooting armed robbers. Slade Henry, age 24, was in his vehicle outside the pizza store. When 2 men approached, he said they tried to rob him, but he simply pulled out his gun and fired. Imagine you're a pizza delivery guy and you're carrying a gun. One of the suspects died. Adalberto Hernandez died, age 24, and the other one took off. So, the shooter, the pizza delivery guy, Slade Henry. Let's have a look. Slade, S-L-A-Y-D-E, 663. Perfectly nice name. Last name, Henry, 527. Accident looking for a place to happen. So this poor guy, he's born into an accident looking for a place to happen family. He grew up with that influence. This guy, he knows, he's like the guy in the comic strip that used to walk around and he had a cloud over his head. It wasn't over anybody else, but it was perpetually raining on him. That's what it would be like to have this 527 last name. So here he is, a pizza delivery guy, and he's carrying a gun. Just imagine. And not only is he carrying a gun, it isn't in the trunk. The bullets aren't separate from the pistol, you know? It's all ready to go. What about the total of his 2 names? Does that help anything? 281 total, 1 destiny. Hard physical things happen, in this case, to the guy trying to rob him. The way you solve this, if you're Domino's Pizza, you announce, we don't like our pizza delivery guys to carry guns. However, as a deterrent, 1 in 10 pizza delivery guys is carrying a gun. We just thought you should know that. Well, all they have to do is announce that, and how many people are going to rob the pizza guy? He might be carrying a gun. All right, so we can see with his numbers what went on there. What about the guy who dies? Adalberto Hernandez. Well, Adalberto is 46. Nothing bad there. Last name Hernandez, 235. Okay, very discordant. The 2 wants money. They don't want to work hard. The 5 considers every option. How about if we rob people? Total of his 2 names, 652 total, 2 destiny. Find the easy way, destiny. Then let's look at his name, because we have the age of the guy who gets shot. He's age 24. He has the 9-letter in his name. He has 9 letters in his name, and only one of them is a 9-letter, the R. When you work it out, he was under the R. And not only was he under the R, he was the 9th year under the 9-letter. His time came up. Wow. The number of times when someone, basically almost every story that I'm excerpting, ever since I started tracking the 9-letter influence, anytime I'm able to calculate, almost without exception, I would say about 80% of the time, they were under the 9-letter when the story happened.
It's really amazing. I mean, these stories are happening because of their first name, because of their last name, because of the total, because of the cycle they're in. And it also is happening because of their nine letters. All of those factors working together predictably. Next story, escape artist rescued after trick goes wrong in Chris Angel's show rehearsal. There was a guy, Spencer Horseman, and he got trapped in a water tank during a rehearsal 30 feet in the air with his arms restrained. All right. And I guess the guy was on America's Got Talent. I mean, listen to this sentence. The terrifying moment was caught on video where the America's Got Talent star looks to be unconscious and crew members can be heard frantically yelling, "Get him down!" Oh, the media. Not a single bit of information in there. We already know the guy. He got trapped in a water tank. Do we need anything else there? I think that's enough. Trapped in a water tank. Got it. So the guy who gets trapped, Spencer Horseman, when you look at his numbers, other than his cycle, no real problems there. And I guess the point is, this guy does this routine regularly, right? He's developed it. He's probably practiced it 100 times. It's not a big deal, right? But what about the guy's cycle? We don't have it. We don't have Spencer Horseman's cycle. And we don't have his age, I don't believe. Because Spencer does have an R. He has a 9-letter, but we don't have his age. But what we do have is Chris Angel's information from Wikipedia. This is part of the Chris Angel show. So even though it didn't happen to Chris Angel himself, it's affecting the show. It's like bad publicity for the show, or good publicity, depending how you look at it. Well, it turns out that Chris Angel, who was born Christopher Nicholas Sarantakos, is in a 4-cycle, 3-7-month, and the day this happened, a 9-3-day, the latter half of a 9-3-day. Expect a disappointment. Next story, body of former White House chef missing in New Mexico mountains has been found. So the guy who's been found is Walter Scheib. He went hiking in the area June 13, didn't return. He served under these presidents for some 11 years. He was then hired by Hillary Clinton. He's listed as a co-author of a White House cookbook. Let's look at his name. Walter 617, The Seven Loves of Nature, Scheib, S-C-H-E-I-B, 551, hell for a last name. The five and the one, they want to challenge nature. This guy wasn't just walking on the friendly trail. Total for his name, 268 total, 8 destiny. So he has a successful destiny, and that's how you get to the White House, right? What about letters under his name? In Walter, he had just come under the 5-letter. Well, the 5 wants challenge, the 5 is restless. They don't know why they're restless. Remember a friend of mine, he had a 595 name, and he told a story, an interesting story. He said he'd go to a party. He was a 3. The 3 loves people. They love, you know, the party atmosphere. That defines the 3. Maybe the negative side of 3, but still, it kind of defines the 3. If you look at the guy at the party who's having the most fun, probably 3-ish. He used to be invited to parties. He would go to parties, and then he would suddenly leave. And after a while, he noticed his own pattern, and when he was outside, he would stop, and he would be asking himself, why did I leave? He was 5-ish, 595 in the name, and he would just suddenly have the urge to leave. Well, I do relate to that because in my case, I had no 5 anywhere until I turned 27. And then from age 27 to 54, I was under that 5 influence. And I may not have done exactly like how he described it, but pretty similar. That 5 can turn on a dime. They can just suddenly not want to be there and they leave. More than any other number. Next story, mom and baby found alive 4 days after jungle plane crash. As soon as I heard that headline, I thought, 3 destiny. The mom who's alive after a plane crash and she's been in the jungle for 4 days, she's got to be 3-ish. Well, they gave her a name. I'm skipping the story because it's pretty obvious. Oh, she survived on coconut water and, you know, yada yada. Maria, first name, 246. Nellie, middle name, 595. Last name, Murillo, 911. There's that hard physical things happen to you. Last name. When you add all of her names together, 753 total, 3 destiny. Can you believe that? And there was a pilot, or a captain, they say he's the pilot and the captain, Carlos Mario Ceballos. So he was killed when this plane crashed. What does it work out to? Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, 775. Accident looking for a place to happen, first name. Next story, it's an update on Gene Palmer.
arrested jail guard denies knowing a prison escape plan. So this was the mat and sweat business. This is a guard now who's been arrested, who supposedly helped these escapees. He provided them with tools, paint, and frozen hamburger meat and access to a catwalk electrical box, but claims he never knew they planned to bust out. And when you read the story, you can see how he could be not figuring things out. Here's the thing, in prison, some things become valuable because they're not available. And so it's common for, you know, guards and inmates to exchange favors to get stuff that they don't otherwise have. Anyway, let's look at his name. Gene, G-E-N-E, 134, last name Palmer, 652. So when you see that 2 around, the 2 is thinking, I'll do it for the money. And then the total for this guy, 786, total 6 destiny. So he's otherwise a very serious, responsible guy. But he got a little bit suckered on this one. One of the things that he told investigators is that in exchange for giving these guys a few little favors, he got information, the guard got information about other illegal acts by the inmates. You see, both parties get something from giving each other little favors. And if you look at it, it says he gave them paint. Well, does that sound threatening? He gave them frozen hamburger meat. Does that sound threatening? And I think the catwalk business, they had some excuse why they needed that access. We don't have all the information, but it's on the edge. Let's put it that way. Next story, body of man who jumped from ferry has been ID'd. So someone was pulled out of Long Island Sound on Friday and identified as Matthew Sheehy, age 58. The coroner has examined him and he drowned and they're calling his death a suicide. So let's look at the name, Matthew with 2 T's, 639. There's that 9 sort of destabilizing the first name. Sheehy, last name, S-H-E-E-H-Y, 167. Total of his two names, 797. When you have a 797 total, and for that matter, he has 7 in the last name, you are alone. And at age 58, you're more alone than the average person. And how does that weigh on you? If you're age 58, even if you had a family, the kids have moved out. If your marriage has not worked out, then you're by yourself. And with a 7-ish total like that, you just don't attract other people. In short, it can be depressing. But also, he was probably not called Matthew, except by his mom. He was probably called Matt. And Matt is a 189, and the 189, they say it will shorten your life. Well, his life ended at age 58. Next story, Jimmy Fallon hospitalized for hand surgery, Tonight Show taping canceled. So this happened a couple days ago. He hurts his hand, right? So when we have someone who's a regular guy and we know about him and he's otherwise pretty stable and normal and something happens, we become curious. What cycle was he in? Well, first of all, let's look at what does Wikipedia say is his real name. His real name is James Thomas Fallon. When you add up all of his names together, he has a 4 destiny. As Jimmy Fallon, just those two names, which is, of course, how he goes by, he has a 764 total, 4 destiny again, and the 4 is the cancer number. Well, when you read on Wikipedia, this guy who, have I got his date? Yeah, he's born in 1974, so he's only 41. February 22nd, 2011, he was on the Dr. Oz show and had a mole removed from his left hand in front of a live studio audience by a cosmetic surgeon. So he was 37, and he's getting a mole removed. Those 4 destinies, cancer destiny. So with this ring getting ripped off, let's look at his cycle. He was born September 19. He's in one cycle this year, 9-1 month. The day this happened was an 8-day. So there's no test number around in his cycle. Why would this happen? Well, the thing that happened was his ring almost ripped his finger off. So it's your extremities. Your fingers, your toes, your ears, and your eyes, nose, those are your extremities. Well, that's governed by the one quality. When you are one-ish or when you're in a one-ish cycle and something happens, it'll happen to your extremities. Well, he was in a 1 year, he is in a 1 year, and he is in a 9-1 month when this happened. Next story, Burbank High School teacher's Shakespeare aversion draws national attention. So this teacher doesn't like Shakespeare, doesn't want to teach it. So what quality would do this? What quality would bluntly refuse to teach Edward de Vere? Well, the one quality, for sure. They just only have one way of looking at something. If it doesn't make sense to them, they don't want to teach it. What other numbers would do this? Well, let's eliminate the numbers that wouldn't do this. If someone had the 6 quality, they would teach Shakespeare. The negative side of the 6 is they're a know-it-all. They love teaching stuffy text from some 500-year-old guy. They love that. What about the three quality? The three just shrugs and teaches it. They don't think about it twice. What about the nine? Well, the nine's a specialist, spiritual leader and teacher quality. They love the idea of teaching the prose of a great person, a great writer. What about the four quality? The four wouldn't change anything. They wouldn't complain about anything. They do it the same way they did it last time, the same way it was done to them. They are lack of change personified. What about the seven? Well, the seven wouldn't make their thoughts public. They wouldn't write an article about why they don't want to teach it. And besides, the seven likes reading, and so they would be all in favor of teaching about the bard. That leaves the two, the five, and the eight, in addition to the one. So would the five do this? Well, the five could do it, but they wouldn't go about it this way. Because this was kind of naive, right? Just blurting it out, I don't want to teach Shakespeare. You're setting yourself up for a challenge, right? So that leaves the two and the eight and the one. Let's see if they have any of those numbers, okay? So the person's name is Dana, D-A-N-A, 292. So they definitely have the two. The last name is Dusbiber, D-U-S-B-I-B-E-R, 898. So they got the second one of these three numbers we're looking for. Total of the two names when you add them together, 191. They have only the three numbers that would do this. That's all they have. 292, 898, 191 total. That's just a beautiful study in the numbers, if I do say so myself. Ah, dear. Next story, Detroit mom in freezer body's case is returning to court. So this person, Michelle Blair, wants to plead guilty to killing two of her children and placing the bodies in a freezer. Can you believe someone would do this? When I hear something like that, it sounds so crazy, I think, too quality. They snapped. Michelle, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L-E, is a 156. We've seen with the 156, it can be... We had an earlier story where the person had a 156. It doesn't seem like the 6 should be bad, but when it's with the 1, they can often do some horrific things. I have a friend of mine to thank for pointing this out to me on many occasions. It's one of those few cases where the numbers don't seem to make sense, but they do. I mean, first of all, they make sense in this way. When you see that 156, you can predict that they can be a bit of a tire biter. They can do bad things even though you wouldn't expect it at first. And once you can make that prediction and then you see that prediction happening over and over again, well, it's still the numbers working. They're just not quite working the way you'd expect in this case. So 156 can be a problem. What about the last name? Blair, B-L-A-I-R, 156 again. Total of her two names, 213 total, three destinies. She does have the two quality. Still, sadly, this person snapped to do this. Next story, stolen valor. Fake soldiers pretend to be war heroes for popularity and profit. So this is a guy who's pretending to be a soldier and then fooling people and making money from it. What quality would do that? The two quality. The two quality cooks up a scheme to make money without doing any work. So you pretend to be something. There's no work involved in that. A money-seeking quality. Well, the eight wants money. So does the seven. It's the negative side of the seven to want money. So let's look at his name. Jonathan. 832, there's the 8 and the 2 in the first name. Middle name Wade, 696, last name Short, S-H-O-R-T, 628, there's more of the 8 quality. And when you add it all together, 257, he only has the 2, 7, and 8. Probably went by Jonathan Short, he's got hell for a total, one destiny. Could have also gone as John Short, J-O-N, Short, 382 total, two destiny. He admitted that he told a woman he'd met online that he was a highly decorated soldier who'd been on multiple deployments and earned high military honors, including the Purple Heart. When she met him for the first time, he wore a complete army combat uniform with a sergeant's rank, combat infantry badge, parachutist badge, combat patch, ranger tab. Oh dear. He had something like 7 different uniforms that he would wear in public. He asked the woman for money, of course. And he even talked about having shrapnel in his body. So what about her? So this is someone that attracts a liar. So this is someone a little bit naive. Let's have a look. Which are the naive numbers? I would say the 5 for sure is naive. And the 3 can be naive in the sense that they're loving. They're lovable. They just want to give you a big hug. They're not being overly analytical. So let's look. Ashley, 617 first name. Vanover, 347 last name, there's the 3. Total of the two names, 955 total, 5 destiny. There's the gullible destiny. Now, the guy investigating all this and outing this guy, his name is Don Shipley. He's a retired Navy SEAL. So he has to do a lot of research to catch these guys. Don, 696 first name, so it's a very good name, good memory name. Last name. Now, someone who wouldn't like people impersonating other people would be a five-ish person. They want to defend the underdog, but they sure as heck, they would really bother a five-ish person if someone is just claiming to be ex-military and they haven't done a darn thing. So we're looking for five with Don here. In the last name, Shipley, 584. 281 total, 1 destiny. This guy's got to watch out. Because with his total, I'm just asking the question here. What kind of things would he be prepared to do to out these people or to punish these people? Got to really watch with his numbers. Anyway, he was probably born Donald. 775 accident, looking for a place to happen. Or in this case, trying to find accidents happening. But also more of the 5 quality. I've noticed a trend where a lot of the people, like, say, accident investigators, are often have the 527 or the 775. They know accidents. That's their specialty. Next story, an upbeat story. Talented makeup artist perfectly recreates cartoon characters on her face. And she does it all just with makeup. She's got 250,000 followers on Instagram, if you can believe it. So I say this story is perfect. There's a bit of novelty. There's something we can all relate to. One of the characters that she does the makeup and makes herself look like is Homer Simpson. Who doesn't love Homer Simpson? And the third essential element, the modern story. This story is no threat whatsoever to the 1%. So which numbers are creative? Well, the odd numbers are creative. But also the 2 is a dreamy quality. Where some numbers are sort of hard and practical, the 2 is a dreamer. If you start making yourself look like cartoon characters, I would say you're a bit of a dreamer. Also, the 2 wants to get rich quick. And the 8. So we're looking for 2 and 8 plus odd numbers. Let's look. Laura, 538. There's an odd number plus the 8. Last name, Jenkins, 213. There's the 2 and an odd number. Total of her name, 742 total. 2 destiny. Next story. Dad and 2 kids killed in Father's Day wreck. And they've been identified. This is a sad story. Let's look at the dad. Tony Allen Rogers, Sr., age 38. This is his children's name. This is the lack of imagination of this guy. So the dad is Tony, and he's Sr. His children are named Tony Jr., and then his other child is called Anthony. Can you believe it? It's kind of like George Foreman with all of his kids named George. Ha ha. Very funny for the first 5 seconds. Let's look at his numbers. Anthony, 652, when you work it all out, add it all together. 573 total, you wouldn't expect that to be a problem. Except that, you know, the 3s, he has 2s and 3s, they can be distracted. And the family name, which certainly all 3 people have the same family name, 281, one expression, bad, hard physical things. I think the thing here is he was probably in a test cycle and we simply don't have his birth date. Next story, mother sues Travis County Sheriff over son's suicide. So this is a person making, in my mind, when you read the story, you can see it, but making something out of nothing. So a guy gets arrested, and then he dies in his cell. He hangs himself in his cell. And now the mom is blaming the prison or the jail system, which is ridiculous. The person who was arrested was Jane Fry, J-H-A-N-E, unusual spelling, Fry, F-R-Y-E. Let's work out his name. First name, 652. So we see amongst criminal class that often they are two-ish because a 2 doesn't want to work hard. So they find an illegal way to make something, to steal something or get something. Last name 549, the 5 thinks of an infinite way of doing something. Again, you often see it in a criminal. 549, very intense, very driven, never happy. And that's the family name. So this person grew up in a family where no one is ever happy. Total for this guy, 292 total. Well, when you have a 292 total, you are trying for the easiest way for everything, and especially for money. Okay, what about the mom? Because the mom here is, to me, is way off base. Why is she doing this? Her first name, Modena, M-O-D-E-N-A, 347. 347, when you analyze that combination, you say the person's crazy. That's just speaking for that combination. Last name, she has a hyphenated last name, and I think we don't have the maiden name.
We have Fry Patch as the hyphenated name, so that sounds like Fry was definitely a married name. And then this Patch is, maybe that's her current husband, his last name of Patch. It's a bit confusing, but when you add it all up, 9-1-1 total, one destiny. The one is loyal, and the one is one-track-minded. So, sadly, she has lost her son. Now, this lawsuit, it's sort of keeping her alive, right? It's her mission now to sue the jail system for no reason. Next story, inmate escaped from hospital. Let's just cut to the chase. What's the inmate's name? Dacius June Parker. So Dacius, first name, D-A-C-I-O-U-S, 189. When you add it all up, what he's born with, Dacius June Parker, 6'5", 2 total, 2 destiny. There's the 2 again. And he also goes by Corey, 213. There's the 2 again. So the 2 wants the easy way. He's got a first name that'll shorten your life. And he's an inmate escaping from hospital. Next story, 2 Marylanders die in crash of Alaska sightseeing plane. What are the names? Hugo Cambioso, age 65, and his daughter Glenda Cambioso, age 31, died in the crash Thursday of a turboprop plane 20 miles northeast of Ketchikan near Ella Lake. When you analyze his numbers, 966 first name, 819 last name, 876 total, stable, successful, with some nines around, 2 different nines around. Again, probably cycle, right? The daughter's name, Glenda, 617, last name, 819, 527 total. Accident looking for a place to happen. But also drawn to nature. Maybe he arranged this whole thing for her, you know, he cares about her, and he's a successful retired businessman, and he wants to do something, you know, the trip of a lifetime for his daughter who loves nature, because with her 2 different sevens there, she would absolutely have loved nature. Next story, Maine Governor LePage vetoes 31 more bills. So here's a guy vetoing bills, and LePage is 281, fine as long as you're agreeing with them. Isn't that perfect? So this governor, his first name is Paul. So it turns out he's got his own bill that he's trying to get pushed through, and he's basically said that if they don't pass his bill, his income tax proposal, he won't pass their bills. But let's look at his name, Paul, first name 415, as a discordant name. When the 4 is happy, the 5 isn't, and vice versa. Last name, LePage, 281, we've talked about. Fine as long as you're agreeing with them. Total of his 2 names, 696 total, 6 destiny. Well, this is an example of 2 bad names, good destiny. So here he is, a governor. He's risen to governor. Very good destiny will do that. But here he is trying to force the issue with people and vetoing. Imagine vetoing 31 bills. How much effort does it take to write a bill, to lobby the bill, to put it on the table? These guys, you know, they take long vacations. In other words, they don't have a lot of time where they're sitting down in the legislature to pass bills. Well, 31 times they try to present a bill, discuss it, and this guy vetoes it at the end. Why? He hasn't got his way. Isn't that fascinating? Next story. Woman climbs pole, removes Confederate flag. Okay, this was a story yesterday. Press is making a big deal of it because it's related to this whole Confederate flag nonsense, this false flag operation. And it's reignited a national debate over the emblem's place in modern America. Well, it hasn't done anything like that. The press wants it to because the press wants us to be distracted from what's really going on the past 2 weeks. But let's look at her name. What kind of a person would climb a flagpole and remove a flag? That's a pretty daring thing to do. What numbers would you expect? Well, the 5, for sure. But also, you know, you got to be physically strong to be able to climb a pole. This is ninja warrior kind of turf. So her first name is Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y, 191. Well, that's a super physical one-ish. That's a positive physical force, all right. Last name, Newsom, 764. The 4 is the muscle number. Total for her 2 names, 865 total. 5 destiny. Perfect. She thinks she's doing something original. She's doing what her name dictates and what the press dictates. She is the perfect sap for the media machine. Bad driver of the week. There was a story last month and the headline said, "Why am I a horrible person when I drive?" Quoting from the story, "While anonymity doesn't automatically cause antisocial actions, it can lead to more aggressive, less inhibited behavior." Well, it's the same problem as online. Why are people more of a jerk online? Because you can be anonymous. In your car, you're relatively anonymous. People don't know your personality. They can't see your eyes. We're driving tanks. We're on the battlefield and we're driving tanks. My rewatch of the week.
This was called The Reinvention of Normal. This is a 7-minute short film. It's on creativity, and it's wonderful. I won't spoil it. I won't analyze it to death. I'll have the link. Check it out. Cool and uncool things of the week. Seriously uncool. Whole Foods. I've had my say about Whole Foods in the past. Hang on, Pete. I had someone emailing me about Pete's, and why do you keep saying, hang on, Pete's? And I said, well, it's because I'm getting a drink, and then I don't want people to hear my slurping, and the sound that I have a little lid on my coffee cup keeps the coffee hot. I don't want to hear all the sounds, so I edit those sounds out, so all you hear is me saying, hang on, Pete's. So why do I say that? Well, the reason I say that is I'm taking a break. It can be hard to resume your train of thought. It can be hard for the volume levels to be at the same level. It's like the guy who's giving a talk and then he reaches over and he grabs his glass of water and he takes a drink. When you see it happening, you don't need him explaining what he's doing. All right, so I've talked about Whole Foods and I analyzed the Whole Foods. I first talked about Whole Foods when video surfaced online showing store employees beating up a street person, probably a homeless person who was drunk, who was trying to get into the store. And these guys ruthlessly appeared to beat him up and kick him and everything else. And there was all kinds of people watching. Nobody did anything. It was really horrific. And when you work out the numbers of Whole Foods, there's nothing good there. There isn't a good number anywhere. Whole is 279, the Oliver combination, the Snapsville combination. Foods, 325, terrible. Put them together, 595 total. Doesn't get much worse. So, this story, Whole Foods chain faces New York City probe after investigators found worst case of overcharges. They caught them routinely overcharging customers on groceries during dozens of inspections dating back for the past 5 years. Inspectors weighed 80 different types of items at Whole Foods' 8 locations in New York. They found every label was inaccurate, with many overcharging consumers. I excerpted a guy from Whole Foods defending the company. Listen to this. This guy, Sinatra, said, Whole Foods disagrees with the city's findings and is vigorously defending itself against the allegations. Sinatra also noted that the store always refunds any items found to have been incorrectly priced. Oh, so if you catch us being dishonest, we'll give you your money back. Isn't he nice? By the way, Sinatra, 281. Fine, as long as you're agreeing with him. Wow. Quoting from the story, our inspectors told me it was the worst case of overcharges that they've ever seen. The overcharges ranged from 80 cents for a package of pecan panko to an overcharge of $14.84 for a container of coconut shrimp. Can you imagine? The findings were particularly shocking because the chain has been fined for the same violations several times. One Whole Foods store alone has had 240 violations during 28 inspections over 5 years. Oh, man. A source familiar with the investigation said a Whole Foods store employee told an inspector that the mislabeled prices were ordered by corporate honchos. Well, I've said that I will never, ever shop at Whole Foods until it changes its name, and then it won't be Whole Foods. My fact of the week, from the early 2000s through 2012, the percentage of articles retracted from PubMed due to suspected fraud has tripled to 43%. All right, what's this about? These days, the academic publishing world is governed by large publishing businesses, and you have to do things their way. You have to go to one of the big boys or it doesn't count. They charge you thousands of dollars to get published, and they publish garbage. People submit stories that, I think one story famously said chicken, 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 chicken over and over again, and it got published, for example. Well, it turns out, statistically, looking back, 43% of articles submitted now are being retracted. Retracted meaning found to be bogus after they're published. So where's the checks and balances here? Where's the academic system doing its job? It's not. This is why I don't try to publish my theory anywhere but on my website. I control my message. I will stand by my message. I don't expect anyone to take me on simply because they're a bunch of cowards. They're trying to make a lot of money. There's no money to be made in a good theory. There's only money to be made by lying. you lie and you make something up and come up with a wacky theory, and people are like, hey, look at this wacky theory, and people buy the magazine, they read about the wacky theory, and then 2 years later they're on to a new wacky theory. My next fact of the week: human activity releases 100 times more carbon dioxide than volcanoes do. My third fact of the week: deaths from coronary heart disease are down 38% in the last 10 years. Yet surprisingly, obese Americans now outnumber those who are merely overweight, and collectively those two categories is two-thirds of Americans now. Women were slightly more likely to be obese than overweight, 37 versus 30, and with men it's 35% are obese, 40% are overweight. I mean, the bottom lines are the same. You add up those numbers for men, 75% of men are either overweight or obese. And yet, heart disease is down by 38%. What's going on there? I think what it shows is food is more readily available and we pig up more. We eat more calories than we used to for a variety of reasons. The serving size, it used to be you could buy a can of soda, it was 10 ounces. When I was a kid, Orange Crush was the soda that I liked. It was a 10-ounce bottle. Who buys a 10-ounce of anything now? I think we buy a 10-ounce Red Bull, maybe. Everything else is much, much bigger. I mean, we buy liters. You see people, they go to the gym and they carry a gallon of water. Or worse, you know, they put something in there, soda or whatever, and they have a gallon of soda, right? Gallon, 128 ounces versus 10. We've scaled everything up, so we're eating more calories, so we're going to be more obese or overweight. That makes sense. But we're, on average, we're eating better than we used to, so heart disease is down. Kind of fascinating. My sugar-free food of the week: fat and sugar cause bacterial changes that may relate to loss of cognitive function. Basically, the story is saying that what you eat affects how you think. And if you eat too much fat or sugar, you won't think as well. I haven't done any reading this week, so I don't have a book recommendation or an extended read. Been working on projects, got a few of them done, feels good. My lunatic microwave radiation story of the week: diabetes has a new enemy, robo-pancreas. Basically, this is a gadget that you put in your body and it tries to replace your pancreas with a machine inside your body, and of course, wireless radiation the whole time. Quote of the week: it is my view that a vegetarian manner of living, by its purely physical effect on the human temperament, would most beneficially influence the lot of mankind. Albert Einstein. I didn't know about this quote until recently. I love quotes, and I really like Albert Einstein a lot. The more I research the physics field, the more I like Albert Einstein because of the way he did his physics and the fact that he was arguably the last guy that did any good physics. There's arguably been no good physics since Einstein. It's all built on a house of cards. But I didn't know he was vegetarian or that in favor of it. Next quote: I know that everything essential and great has only emerged when human beings had a home and were rooted in a tradition. Today's literature is, for instance, largely destructive. Martin Heidegger. Next quote: there is all the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. Well, this is a key quote these days by a guy that I'd only heard about recently. I was sort of searching for philosophers or thinkers that I might not have heard of, and then I go and gather all the quotes I can from them. And this guy is Friedrich August von Hayek. He lived 1899 to 1992. All the difference in the world between treating people equally and attempting to make them equal. These days we're trying to make us all equal rather than just treating people equally. So we get rid of Confederate flags so that we're all equal, right? We could allow flags to be there, and we've had these flags for 120 years. If we simply treated people equally, whether you got a flag or not, I'm going to treat you equally, right? But no, we have to get rid of the flags so that we're all, quote, equal. We're trying to make ourselves equal. It's impossible. You can dumb people down, you can make them worse, but you can't make them equal. You cannot do that. We have different numbers, we have different names, we were born in different days, we are different, period. Next quote: you have much more power when you are working for the right thing than when you are working against the wrong thing. That was interesting. They always want to get us on the side of an issue. Take gay rights or whatever. They want us on the side. And we're fighting against what we think is the wrong thing. But how often do we have a right thing? How often does something good come along and then people get behind it? It's rare. It is so rare, it's not funny. Next quote: it is not the amount of knowledge that makes a brain. It is not even the distribution of knowledge. It is the interconnectedness. James Gleick. A paper he wrote called The Information: A History, A Theory, A Flood. I don't know if it's any good. Finally, the art of not reading is very important. It consists in not taking an interest in whatever may be engaging the attention of the general public at any particular time. When some political or ecclesiastical pamphlet or novel or poem is making a great commotion, you should remember that he who writes for fools always finds a large public. A precondition for reading good books is not reading bad ones, for life is short. Arthur Schopenhauer, who lived from 1788 to 1860, so these days you would say not only that about books, but you'd say that about movies. The art of not watching is very important. A precondition for watching good movies is not watching bad ones, for life is short. This has been Floyd Maxwell, JustThinkIt.com, doing a Floydcast number 72 for June 29, 2015. Good luck with your life. Take care.